I know he just gave you permission to sit down, but I really can't resist it because I love this He has risen thing so much. Can we do it once more, please? Twice, three times, maybe? He has risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
That is so much fun. Actually, we were making bread yesterday, and it's so much fun to say that my son Ben said of the bread, "It is risen." We just can't seem to get enough of this.
He's a
real. Yes. So today we remember that Jesus is alive. Today we remember that Jesus on the third day said that he would rise again on the third day. And he did. And today we remember that we worship a living God. Today we remember. And this is the story that we remember. I'm reading from Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 to 8. Please just listen along. But very early on Sunday morning, the woman went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered that he had said this. Memory is something that a lot of us can take for granted. Not just for everyday things, not just to remember the past, but for identity, for living in the present and living out into the future. If we don't have memory, we forget. We lose our identity, we lose perspectives, we can lose ourselves. So today we say he is risen because we need to remember. Because this memory, this acknowledgement forges our identity. It tells us who we are as we live in the present and move into the future. Whatever may come tomorrow. Where would we be if we couldn't remember this? Where would we be if we entered the events of Good Friday centered on the crucifixion and the suffering of Jesus and simply forgot that Easter was coming? If it slipped our minds, if at this part of our story our minds simply went mushy and blank, well, that's exactly what happened to the disciples, isn't it? It's one of the most puzzling events of the Easter story. How could this merry band of Jesus followers, who'd seen some pretty crazy things with Jesus, just go ahead and forget that Jesus said he would suffer and on the third day rise again? How could they forget this? He told them over and over again. In Luke chapter 9, verse 22, it says, "The Son of Man must suffer many terrible things. He will be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He will be killed, but on the third day he will be raised from the dead." Or Luke 18, 32. "He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." Seems pretty clear to me. And this is just what had been written in the gospel according to Luke, recorded for us. I wonder how many other conversations they had with Jesus. And was this a normal thing? Did people go around saying stuff like this? Were people in the habit of predicting that they would be crucified and predicting that in precisely 3 days they would be raised from the dead? I think not. If someone said that to me, I hope I would remember. It would stick out in my mind. It's hard to believe that the disciples could have forgotten or did not comprehend that Jesus said something so profound that he was going to be crucified and that he would come to life again. I guess it just slipped their minds. So Jesus is dead, just like what he said would happen, crucified. He suffered. That part came about. And you think their minds would turn to what he said next? That on the third day he would rise again? Oh, I get it. It's all coming true. Remember what he said? It's happening. He also said this. So it's going to happen too. Let's all go to the tomb and wait. It's going to be amazing. But no, none of them remember this. None of them are prepared for it. Even the ladies who were probably the closest to having functional minds and memories at this point looked into the empty tomb and couldn't figure it out. The tombstone is rolled away. They go in, and he's not there. And the text said they were wondering about it. Translation. Now, how did we get the wrong tomb? Will you check the GPS again, please? Or, hey, someone stole Jesus. Or maybe because they might have still been in the denial stage, hey, he never died. It was all a bad dream. They didn't get it either. It took an angel to shake them out of this fugue stupor. I like the way Matthew describes this angel. It says his face shone like lightning. It's even better if you say his face shone like lightning. Kind of King James's. His face shone like lightning. It would have been terrifying. An angel. We think of chubby little cherubs in the fashion of Renaissance art. I'm not afraid of those things. But this would have been a being that radiated power and otherness. It would have been terrifying. And that's what it took. It took that encounter, that inbreaking of the supernatural, to remind them of the promises of Jesus. I find it perplexing that they could have forgot something like this. Because it's not really a small detail. I don't want to be too hard on them. I too have problems with my memory. It started as a joke shortly after we were married on July 30th. Cindy asked me, what day were we married again? See, she had forgotten. It's not always the women who are ahead in this. So I told her, July 31st. It's a little bit wrong, because it's one day off. It was a joke. Oh, this started a tradition, though, and to this day, we both wonder if we were married on July 30th or July 31st. We can't remember the right day now. And the wedding is one of the most significant days of our lives. I still remember a lot of details about it. I remember the confetti in our car that blew in our faces when we started the engine. That was nice. I remember the kids who were running around unsupervised, and they weren't even millennials back then. And they knocked over, sorry, millennials, and they knocked over our wedding cake before we could cut it into the grass. I remember that outdoor dance floor that I built with some friends. Of course, we didn't dance because we were Baptists. We just wanted it there. The food, and of course, the vows and nerves. And I remember how beautiful Cindy looked. Puppies and kittens. I remember my friends standing at the front of the church and waiting for me with the pastor. But if you were to ask Cindy about our wedding, she might give you different details. She would probably tell you about my painful good looks and my charm. That's the first thing that she would say. But the fact is, there is also a lot I forget about this wedding. And the thing about forgetting is you don't know what you've forgotten. And if that's the case, it's like it ceases to exist. Memory is important. It gives us life. It forges our identity. It helps us live in the present and walk into the future. The disciples had forgotten what Jesus said. How painful that must have been to be stuck in the events of Good Friday. I wonder how many of us find ourselves in a similar quagmire of memory. Because here's the truth, we usually remember what's important to us. We rarely forget something that does something for us, or offers something to us, or hits us deep and low and profound, and turns us inside out. We don't forget stuff like that. We forget things that are trivial to us, like people's names, or details that don't seem important. Or we forget dates, some of us anyway. We forget things that are completely irrelevant to us. And I know we can remember the events of Easter once a year, but do we really remember? Is it something powerful that shapes our lives? Does it shake us like it shook those disciples so long ago? I find that like the disciples, like Mary, I forget when I should remember. I forget the promises of God. I forget the signposts of what have gone before me in my life. I forget the painful moments of life that are curiously interwoven with intrusions of unexpected joy. I forget that I live in a beautiful world that declares the majesty and creativity of God. I forget. You ever been there? Do you find yourself like the disciples in a place where you just forget? You might remember that there's a day called Easter where Jesus rose again. But really, it just seems like a story. Distant story. So even though we can remember, we still forget. To remember is to live in a way that is informed by the promises of God. And the resurrection isn't something that should be remembered once a year. It's a memory to be lived out of. It gives us life. It's our reason for being. And I want to tell you that on that day that we are celebrating and remembering right now, the story didn't end. The story doesn't end. The resurrection is not the end of the story, even though it is the conclusion of the Gospels. It is really the beginning. This is what began on that day. Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, is the first fruits of the kingdom of God. His resurrected body is an example of what is to come, like a prototype. Not only are the words of Jesus the promise, he is the promise. And with the resurrection of Jesus, something new has begun. The new creation has been launched. And here's what we need to look to when it seems like we just can't move on, when life seems too painful, too unfair, too unjust. The uprising has begun. With the resurrection of Jesus, it is the beginning of the new creation in which God is putting things right. That's the thing about the resurrection. It's not just a happy ending to a story that would have been sad if he didn't come back alive and this happy little band of followers and their leader. It's the beginning of the newness that God promises. We can look way back to Isaiah chapter 11, 6, and we read this. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. Or Isaiah 55. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. These are the pictures, the glimpses of what really began. Jesus is making all things new. As the theologian N.T. Wright says, the resurrection is that moment of the beginning of new creation, that Jesus' risen body is the source of what God's new creation will look like. In other words, God will do for all of creation what he did in Jesus. So when life throws stuff at you that you just don't want, you remember Jesus is making all things new. When the pain of life seems overwhelming and life is pressing in, you remember that Jesus is making all things new. Jesus came and lived with us, became fully human while remaining fully divine, because he wants to redeem all of creation. He wants to make things right. Sometimes we call this heaven, but God's agenda goes far beyond that, far beyond our imaginations, because God's agenda is to create a new earth and new heavens, a redeemed earth where we live in harmony with one another, with the animals and with the environment. And I like this. We'll have glorified bodies. There's a mystery here, I know, because, I mean, I like to think, will I have this scar in my glorified body? Or do we all magically go back to, maybe miraculously is a better word, back to 21? I don't know. I mean, we might be all different ages, but we'll have glorified bodies. To borrow a term from Mr. Trump, it's going to be wonderful. I want to go back 3 days, back to the crucifixion. And there's this guy on the cross beside Jesus. We don't know much of his story, but we know the Romans crucified him. And he was up on that cross. He probably felt more alone than he's ever been in his life. Forgotten. It's like he's just been erased. And he says these words to Jesus. Jesus, remember me. There are possibly no words that are more human in the whole Bible. No prayer we can pray so well as that. Jesus, remember me. We all want to be remembered. None of us want to be forgotten, to be forgotten out of existence. And I want to remind you of something. This is the Easter message. Jesus will be faithful to remember you. Even if we find ourselves struggling to remember, struggling to live out of and into the promises, he will lift you up. He will remember you. He is risen. We will remember. Amen. Let's continue in worship as we celebrate that God will remember us.